Mr. Barker, Reel 4. They were just telling me about this small hill near the Samichon.
Yes,
sir. Tell me what you were going to say.
Well, the whisper was that the Chinese were going to attack us at New Year. Now, to counter, it was either the New Year or the New Moon. And to counter this, we were going to attack them. And the whisper was that the HQ Company and B Echelon and all the odd pods had got to go on, take this hill, or go on this hill, it was in no man's land, or even take the hill, and so the four companies could move through it. And we thought, blimey, we've got to be absolutely sitting targets because the Chinese guns would have it weighed up, you know what I mean? That was during Christmas, which didn't help our Christmas, really. But then before the New Year, it was all cancelled. So thank God we didn't get roped in. But that would have been the only actual fighting we would have been in.
So, anything else about your time at Samichon before the...
I can't remember anymore, no. Well, I can remember seeing the Sabre jets bombing the... I did have a month up in the four companies.
Was that there, or was that later, when they went back to Coeing Sand, Hill 3?
Oh, I don't know where it was. Well, no, the Samichon River, it was near the Samichon River.
So what were you doing with the four?
Well, I did a company signaller, because obviously for some reason they ain't got a signaller, and I was up in, like, Ginger.
Which company?
I don't know what company it was, don't know.
And what was that like? What was your job like with that?
I can't really remember. I didn't get involved in any patrols, but I do remember seeing all the Chinese running about with napalm all over them, where the Americans used to bomb them. I remember that. And there was another thing I remember, the Chinese, during the night, they'd dig a big trench right up a hill in one night. And they were like ants. There was loads of them.
Now, what about the rest periods? In rest periods, this, or reserve, they seem to have, in March, they pulled out of the Samichon back to Peacock Reservoir, or Peacock Reservoir, you might have called it, and the period there. Did you remember the periods in reserve?
No, that would have been one, no, because our job was the same in reserve as it was when they're in the line, if you know what I mean. And I said we moved three or four times, but that was probably when we moved back to the cemetery, I don't know. I know we moved three or four, at least four times. Because one time we moved, there was big New Zealand, I think New Zealand was the gunners, and these guns, we thought it was the Cat's Whiskers, because these guns could fire 13 miles. Big old things, what a noise they made. Then another thing I remember, the tanks. They'd use the tanks as guns. They'd get them halfway up a hill, put them on, dig them in, and just use them as a gun. Don't know if Ginger mentioned that, but they did. They didn't use, you couldn't use them as tanks. It was too illy.
Now, they went back towards the Coeing Sang area, which is where they had the Imjin just behind you.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything about that time?
No, I don't think so.
So just a steady routine.
Yeah.
What about this time you came under a heavy artillery fire?
Well, that was right at the end. That was right at the end. We used to play football, obviously.
You were going to tell me about the sports day what you had while you were at.
No. I played football. That's it. And then they had boxing.
When was it? This was in reserve.
When we was in reserve, then they wanted me to box, and I wouldn't. Then I tell you what they did. They had an American group come and play music, and I heard the song Blue Moon. That was a lovely song. I always remember that. And then they had pictures, believe it or not, in the middle of the summer. They had outdoor pictures. Used to walk 2 or 3 miles back, and then they had outdoor pictures. And I always remember they said we need to carry our weapons. We went to these pictures, I always remember it, without our weapons. Then it got dark, and we had to walk these 3 or 4 miles back. We ain't got our weapons. No way would I ever again do that. No way. That was a hard lesson. Oh, blimey, always carry your weapon.
Now, you wanted to tell a story about the sports day before. Do you remember what it was?
No, we didn't have it. I don't think we had a sports day then. We only had a sports day at Dover.
Okay.
I know they wanted boxing, but I didn't box. Oh, that was it. That was when this bloke boxed. This bloke who beat me boxed. That was it. And he turned out that he'd boxed semi-professional at Covent Garden. That was it. Yeah, that's how I found out. Yeah, he did hammer me.
Now, what about, you went back into the line, you know, in this Coang San area. Anything else you remember of that time? Any incidents that happened?
Well, no, it didn't register with us, you see, because the Ford companies may have moved, and we may have not, you know what I mean?
Now, what about this big bombardment? What I mean is, unless there's anything else, that would bring us to the end of your time.
That's right, yeah. Well, right at the end, well, why don't we... Went to Tokyo for 5 days.
Tell me about that.
In a Dakota. And that was sitting on the floor in this Dakota and just had 5 days in Tokyo.
What was that like?
Well, I was right, but I ain't saying anymore.
You enjoyed yourself?
Yeah, enjoyed yourself. Well, wouldn't you if you were going to get a bullet? I mean, that was it.
That's what you believe would happen?
Well, yeah, we enjoyed ourselves because, quite frankly, we thought if we got a bullet when we got back, that was it.
Were you nervous? Were you a nervous soldier?
No,
you think?
I wasn't frightened. No, I never was.
How did you feel about being in action?
Being what?
About being in action, about the risk, the rest of it.
Didn't worry me. Later in life, when I became a policeman, an old dear said to me, she said, "You're the best policeman there ever was." And I said, "Why is that?" You know what she said? She said, "You go where angels fear to tread." I was never frightened. Not frightened to deal with my first accident, nothing.
Now tell us about this artillery bomb.
Right at the very end. It was unbelievable. We was and I just walked out of the cookhouse and this blooming shell went off. It was about 20 yards to my right. And I see all the dirt coming out of the ground and I dived on the floor. And I couldn't believe it. We'd actually pulled back. We found out afterwards that the Chinese had dug a tunnel through this hill. Did you know about that? Yeah, well, apparently they dug a tunnel through the hill, put a railway line on it down and wheeled this gun out, fired it and back into the hill. And they really did shell us bad, really bad. And I ran up the hill. That was another thing. We made a... Because the signal tent was at the top of the hill... More often than not, we used to run up the hill to keep fit. That was another habit we did. You've done all these things, just A, to break the monotony, and B, to make sure you're fit. And A, it was quicker. Anyway, I ran up the hill, and that round our tent where we lived was a ditch for rainwater if it flooded. We laid in that ditch, I always remember it. These shells were still dropping, you could hear them going over. You obviously know that the one that gets you don't hear it. You obviously know that. Then we got underground. I got my signal set underground, and this time there was logs and earth above us. And what I always remember about that, there was about 12 of us. We could still hear these shells going over and exploding. And believe it or not, one or two of the regular soldiers started crying. And I was thinking of my mother. And I didn't realise till years later that the reason obviously they were crying is because they'd got families. Anyway, eventually, thank God, after about an hour, the shelling stopped. And apparently the American airplane got it, you know, when they wheeled it out, they got it.
They got this gun in.
Got it, yeah. And we did have blokes killed with that shelling. That was frightening. That was the only bit that really scared me. Well, obviously, because your life was at stake, you know. That was the only bad bit that headquarters got.
You were fairly lucky in the job you got.
Yeah, we were lucky. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But I admit that.
Now, what about, you mentioned that you saw the casualties coming back, and you also would you help bury the dead, or would you help...
Oh, no.
When you're in the line, I mean.
No, they had a service. They'd have a short service, and with the old flag up, right, in the last post... We used to have the last post at night as well.
Would you attend those services?
Oh yeah, we would. Oh yeah. And then the body would go down to Pusan and be buried in the cemetery of Pusan. Yeah, and that was a little bit, well, not frightening. You used to think, golly, I hope I'm the next one. I hope I'm not the next one. That did used to cross your mind, obviously. And that was sad. Because our Corporal Roberts, the one I was telling you
about. Tell me about how he was killed.
Apparently.
He wasn't with you up
there. No. He'd only been there a week. Apparently, he was a bit of a hothead, I must admit. He walked into a minefield, and a Chinese mine, he chewed on it, and they called it a jump mine. And it jumped up in the air, blew his head off. They called it a jump mine. Did you mention that? Oh, he did. Oh, you know half of it.
No. Tell me, so anything else before you left? You left about September.
We had a parade.
Where's this?
We had a big parade, leaving parade. I was on a detachment then to go back to the UK. The regiment was going back to Hong Kong. We had a big parade, and Major Crampton said to me, he said, what are you going to do, Buck, when you go back? I said, I'm going to be a policeman, sir. Oh, good, he said. He left it at that. There is a follow-up to that. And then...
And what was this parade like? That was in Busan, was it?
No, this was in... No, it wasn't in Busan. It was, I think it was in the line. I think it was just before we come out of the line. It was only our company lined up. I think it was before we come out of the line. Then we went back to Busan. We had a couple of days there. And then we came back the way we come. The only thing, the regiment stayed in Hong Kong. And I come back the same way, but we didn't stop in Alexandra.
Now, was that on the Empire Orwell again?
Yeah, same ship, the Orwell. Yeah.
And that was from late September.
That was, that took a month. It took 4 weeks.
To October on.
Yeah.
Early. And yeah. Anything about the journey back?
No, it was quite straightforward. Plenty of tombola. Don't think anything happened much. But when we got to Southampton, we was on this ship. There must have been about six decks, all full of soldiers. Loads of people down below. I'll never forget it as long as I live. And loads of people. And I could see my mum and my twin sister amongst all these people. And I was quite a long way up. Twice as tall as this house, I should think. Hell of a way up. And I kept shouting, Mum, Mum, Jill, Mum. And no answer. Of course, everybody else was shouting, Mum. Well, when I was a kid, about 14... I actually played for Bedford Town youth team called the Eagles. And I used to walk around home saying, up the Eagles. So I thought, I know what I'll shout. I'll shout up the Eagles. And I went, up the Eagles! And there they saw me straight away. Couldn't believe it. To this day, my sister always reminds me.
Now, what happened when you got there? I mean, we demobilised straight away.
Within a couple of weeks, I went up to Bury St Edmunds. We got demobbed from Bury St Edmunds.
That'd be in November then, 52, would it?
Something like that, yeah.
And what happened when you were demobilised? What was
Well, I went to join the police force. I went back.
No, I mean, what did they kick you out with, and what happened on your demobilisation?
I think we had a demob suit. We added all that stuff in. The only thing I kept was my red armband, and I've lost them. Unfortunately, I lost my medals. I think they might be in the loft, I don't know. And then I joined the police force.
Now, that's what you'd always wanted to do. How did you get into the police
force? I'll explain. I went to join the police force, and I failed my first exam. I was never any good at English. Couldn't spell pidgin. I always remember this inspector telling me. Anyway, I didn't take my army discharge book. Well, that was another thing. I got a lovely write up for my major, and the last bit of the write up I always remember was, this man is at his best when conditions are at their worst, which I thought was very, very nice of him. Anyway, I went a second time to join the police force, and the chief constable was an ex-naval commander, Willis. He used to take me to him when I was a butcher's boy, and he fired questions at me left, right and centre. And he said to me, he said, fought in the Korean War? Yes, sir. Been under Shelfar? Yes, sir. You're in. Just like that. And that got me in the police force. And when I went downstairs, there were six of us. There was a Navy petty officer, Sergeant Major, one of my mates who went in Malaya, and this inspector of charge of police training, he said to us, which one of you is Barker? I said, me, sir. And he walked up to me, shook me by the hand, he said, I'm ex-Royal Norfolk. And he's still alive today.
Who was that? Do you remember his name?
Goodyear. Yeah, he lives in Norfolk. And of course I was in. And when I was at police training school, I was told I wouldn't make it, but I said, I bloody will make it, mate, don't you worry. But
did you find your military service, helped
you? Oh, yeah, well, of course I was. I mean, I was used to discipline. When I was at the police training school, I was used to discipline. The very first night I got there, I sat in the hall, big hall of this big house, and all us new recruits, a recruit come in, this police training sergeant shouted at him for some reason, and the recruit turned around and went out again. And that was the end of his police career. And I knew why he did it, and the old sergeant said, well, he said, I only did that to test him out, and I thought, yeah, you're like the old army sergeants. You see, I was used to it. I could take the discipline. I could take the rough stuff. And when I was in the... Funny thing is, when I could tell you so many police stories, it is unbelievable. I could write a book about them, but I was on... But I...
Where did you work as a policeman?
Well, I worked at Luton for a start, and then I had 8 years at Biggleton, right, 20 years here. But I nearly always got the observation jobs. If anybody had to hide up, I got the jobs. Even going road digging bones up, I had to go through this wood in the middle of the night and hide up. It was always me who got the jobs. Because they reckon I'd been an old soldier. And when I was at Biggleswade, it's funny how the army career helps you. There'd been an accident, a bloke had been killed, they wheeled him out of the ambulance. This sergeant said to me, seen a dead body. So I thought, well, I will get it. Yeah, I've seen him in Korea, dead Chinaman. And you know, it's funny. And he said, touch his arm. And I touched his arm, and just as I touched his arm, he went, oh, of course, I saw this face for weeks afterwards. And do you know what I did to get rid of it? Stood on a bridge, let a big steam train go under me, filling me with steam in the dark, 4 o'clock in the morning, and it went. Talk about exorcism, that was it. But I got all that stimming. I'm sure I got these observation jobs because I've done. So I've got the patience to sit there. But I won't. I mean, I could sit all night telling you about them.
What about you? I mean, did you have to do services as a territorial?
Ah, that was it. Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Yeah. Well, then I went. When I went to Biggleswade, believe it or not, I lodged with the First World War widow, and then I had to go on territorial army training.
Do you remember which battalion?
Beds and Earths. So I come back to the Beds and Earths, my local regiment.
And do you remember which battalion, though?
I don't remember which battalion, no. I volunteered. I thought, they give us a chance to volunteer for this and that. And I volunteered to be a batman. I thought, blow this, I ain't giving me a soul to be playing. I've done more of it, and I volunteered to be a batman.
You didn't tell them you were a signaller?
They obviously knew. I mean, I didn't want signals, I'd had enough of it. I just wanted a skive, to be honest with you. I didn't want to know. I mean, for us blokes who had already done war service, what was the point? Anyway, we went down to Folkestone, and I remember that, and I remember having me a tin hat stolen, and every other morning somebody had a tin hat stolen, and there was about 30 of us in the tent. And the bloke, if you never believe it, the bloke who had to pay for his helmet in the end was one of the biggest crooks in Biggleswade. I always remember that, because I always had to keep it secret, obviously, because I knew him. And then they said, did we want to drive in a three-tonner, have a driving test in a three-tonner? Well, I drove a Jeep in Korea at times, and I drove me back, well, how on earth we got out alive in this three-tonner, I'll never know. You know what Folkestone is, because I was batman to the MT bloke. And then, yeah, because I was guarding the regiment. I tell you, I did learn a very valuable lesson there. I was guarding the regiment of silver in a tent, and this officer come in, and the telephone was near the silver. He said, can I use the telephone? I always remember it. Can I use the telephone? I said, oh, well, I think it'll be all right, sir. God, didn't he tear me off, he said. Of course it'll be all right. I'm only asking you how to have good manners. And that taught me a valuable lesson, because when I was a policeman, I always then said, if I asked the bloke for his driving licence, I always said, may I see your driving licence? And that learnt me a lesson. And quite frankly, you do learn a lot in the military.
How long were you with the Beds and Hearts?
I done 3 years, 2 weeks a year. We went to Folkestone.
52 to 55, is it?
Yeah, Folkestone, Tidworth and Salisbury Plain. I think, yeah, Salisbury Plain.
Do you keep in touch with your old comrades from the 1st Battalion, the Royal
Norfolks? Yeah, I mean, I'm in the Welling Fire branch of the Korean Veterans.
Well, Ginger, tell me about that.
I'm in Ginger's branch of the Welling Fire Korean Veterans.
What's important to you about the Korean Veterans?
Well, they meet every third Sunday in the month, and you see your old mates. But I can't get there because it's a bit of a long way away. But we go away at least once a year as a group. This year I've been to Blackpool, Korean Veterans, which was a nice. I've never been to Blackpool, and I've also been to Torquay, Korean Veterans. I took my twin sister, both of them, and we had a lovely time.
And what about the Royal Norfolk Regiment Association? Are you in
that? I have nothing to do with them, no.
Why not? Any reason?
I don't know. I don't know, Roy. I don't know.
For you, it's the Korean Veterans.
That's right, yeah. I don't know why. Funny enough, I played bowls the other day, and they were from Norfolk, and one of them belonged to the Royal Norfolk, so I should have got an address from him. I don't know, to be quite honest.
Okay. Thank you very much.
And I think...